This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, it's Saturday, even though it's a little chilly this morning.
You know, this is that time of year.
Did you notice it?
I did notice. Yeah, it goes from like 90 to like 50-something, and then up to like 100. And then this is that time of year where everything goes crazy. And then we had that big dust storm earlier this week. I think it was on Tuesday.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. That just destroyed my sinuses and all that, and it did to a lot of other people as well. So hopefully that's gone, and before you know
it,
it was
going right down Big Spring, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
That dirt was just fogging right down Big Spring.
Oh, yeah, you could see that thing rolling in from miles away.
Oh, I know, really bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, last night it was like 40-something. You know, it dropped to 40s after being so nice and warm and a beautiful day.
Mm-hmm.
And so every day now it's going to be something different.
Yeah. Until
we're going to have wind, or we won't have snow probably, but wind and rain and everything else, dirt.
Yeah. It'll snow some dirt. But before, it'll be like a month, and it'll be like 120 nonstop.
I know. And we'll be complaining very harshly.
Yes. Yeah. So we should enjoy this.
That's right. We'll be saying, can we get out of town?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the llamas are going to want to go with me, you know?
Yeah, they are. They're going to say, I'm done with this.
That's right, because they've got to get their coats off. If they don't get their coats off in May, they will not be happy.
Oh, no, that'll be too hot.
They would be way too hot.
Yeah. So it's tough being a llama, I would suppose.
It is tough being a llama. But, you know, our llamas are so well-mannered. I saw a video the other day. And these people were teasing these llamas, and obviously they were hungry and not letting them have anything to eat, and running with it. And these llamas reared up on them. I can't even imagine that.
Really?
Yeah, because our llamas don't do things like that. They don't spit on us. They spit at each other, but they do not spit on us.
Really? They spit at each other?
And when I saw that, yeah, I was shocked that llamas were acting like that. And I thought, well, I guess if you got hungry enough and somebody had the food and wouldn't let you have it, I guess you would, you know, do something to them.
I do that all the time.
You'd say, I'm not going for this, right? Oh, my gosh. Well, let me tell you something as we start today. Well, let's give out the phone number first. The phone number is 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage. Now, I have a lot of people coming this week. Some of them are from Odessa. So we want to be sure and mention on the air, you know, that they just come around the loop, come to Big Spring, go south, and it's just right down there past Walgreens and CVS Pharmacy. It's on the right. And then you'll see Ivy Cottage also.
Right next to Ivy Cottage, you say, right?
That's right. So all these people coming from Odessa, we want to make it easy for them to get there, okay?
Do you have a lot of people normally from Odessa come to town?
It's about 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think this week half of them are from Odessa. And I know Wednesday is booked. You can count Wednesday out.
Oh, wow.
Wednesday's book. Now, I've got some time Thursday, and might have a little bit of time Friday morning, but that's it. You know, this is going to be one of those kind of weeks.
Oh, boy.
And we always tell people make an appointment early. They have. They've had this appointment for 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
So,
oh, wow.
Yes.
It takes that long to get in.
Well, it did this time. And so they're coming this week, And as I said, Wednesday's going to be the busiest day. Then Thursday, I've got a little bit of time left and might have a little bit on Friday morning, and that's it.
So, and I'm trying to kind of, I guess, figure out the big landscape based on what you just said. Most of the people that come in for an appointment, those are new clients, right? Because your existing clients and existing investors, they don't need to come in. They just, you send them an email and they say, okay.
Well, no, they come in lots of times and say, okay, I was just in the area. Can you pull up a copy of you know, all my investments? And we do that for them.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of people say, well, I made out a spreadsheet, but mine may not be as good as yours.
Mm-hmm.
So they want, you know, a new spreadsheet, and we'll do a spreadsheet for them. Okay. And then they come in to do, a lot of people don't sign their contracts for new policies online. A lot of them come in and do that.
All right.
Lots and lots of them that love to come in. They want to talk to me or Claudia, and then they come in and sign their contracts right there.
They just like that FaceTime.
That's right. They want FaceTime. So, they, you know, they do that too. So that way they get to see us and talk to us, ask any questions they might have. So, okay. You know, we have people that do that. You just wouldn't believe how many come in and sign their contracts.
So it's a little bit of everything. Some people do it strictly online. Some people haven't seen you in 5 years, but they keep investing. And then others come in and see you quite frequently on a regular basis.
That's exactly right. And, you know, this week we have done an awful lot of policies. And, you know, we've been talking about this big policy for 2 weeks, and it looks like we're going to do that this next week. And one client has been calling, sending little emails. He said, where is that large policy? You know, it's over $5 million, and they've been waiting for it for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, and we were having trouble getting all the documents. We're ready. It's just we're waiting on documents, and we're supposed to have everything finished on Monday and back to us. So all these people have been wanting to get in that. We will be sending papers out first of the week saying, okay, we're ready to get you in these policies.
Wow.
But we have done a lot of policies this week. I don't know how many million, but quite a few.
So these,
and then, go ahead.
So these are all new policies that you're just closing on that are ready for investing.
That's right. And then we had two policies that had matured that will be in their accounts on Tuesday. So that's nice. That's about $1.8 million right there for people. And I was just going to tell you what all had come in since January, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The TUI policy, it was 18 months. They did that 321 of 17. It actually matured January 9th of this year. That's 8 months early.
Wow.
Yes, and Mr. Tui was 50 years old. He had lung, liver, spleen, and brain cancer.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, and then Mr. Moore, it was supposed to be 15 months. We did it in October, and it came due in January. That's 12 months early.
Wow.
And he was 62. He had skin from the foot to the thigh, the lymph nodes, and pelvic bones.
Oh, wow. So his cancer got aggressive.
It was very aggressive. Now then, we had Mr. Koch. It was a 12-month policy. We did it on 9/26, and it matured February the 5th. It was 7 months early, and it was a lady. Excuse me. And she had ovarian cancer. It was in the fallopian tubes, lymph nodes. And this was a second time around. And then we had Mr. Stump. It was a 10-month policy. And we did it February of last year. It came in February the 20th of this year. Came in 2 months early.
Wow.
And he was 71. He had prostate, lymph nodes, and it was in his bones.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now, Mr. Sanders is the one that we just got the money in. It was a 30-month policy. And it was January 13th of last year. It came in February 22nd, 16 months early.
Holy smokes.
Yes. And
That is significant.
Yeah. It is. He had kidney and renal cell and lung cancer. Then Mr. Henneman, it was a 27-month policy. We did it 4 of 17, and he died March 25th, 15 months early.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And there was only Mr. Stump went over 2 months. The rest of them didn't. Can you imagine that?
Now
all of them were early, but Mr. Stump.
Yeah. Well, how late was Mr. Stump's?
2 months.
Okay. So even though it went over, it really didn't have that much of a significant impact on anybody's.
No,
profit.
It didn't have any impact because there was no premiums due, no nothing due.
Okay. All right.
So we've had 6 maturities since January.
So, and I didn't do the math in my head, but if you were to add up is the months that each of these policies came in early, I'm going to guess, and I'm just throwing off a random number based on what I think I tallied in my brain, somewhere around all of them combined, I'm going to guess around a little over 2 years early. And then this one policy, Mr. Stump's, came in 2 months late. So, I mean, these are really good, really insanely good averages for, you know, the money that people make off these investments coming in early.
Yes, there was two. One came in 8 months early. One came in 7 months early. The others were like 12, 16, and 15 months.
Yes, and it was probably even more than 2 years. I mean, I guess the point is when we stop and look at all these, you know, and these are real-life, hardcore examples of policies that are coming in early, and what this means is that people can take their profit, and most of the time I assume they do, they turn around, they reinvest it, and what this means is that, you know, so say a policy comes in 16 months early, and then, you know, over time they have another policy that maybe comes in 3 months late, you're still 13 months ahead of the curve, because it's not just about one individual policy. The whole idea of this is to grow your money over time, over multiple investments, over being diversified, and we're talking about averages, and the averages seem like they're well above the curve.
I think they are, and you know, we did good last year. We've already started off good this year. We've had 6 maturities the first quarter.
Wow.
And that's not bad. If we can have this much every quarter, it'll be a very good year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it looks like the, because you had a record-breaking year in 2017, and it looks like that
we
momentum.
We did. We had more policies mature, I believe, than we ever have.
Wow. That is great. It looks like that's continued into 2018.
It does. I mean, we've had, as I said, we've had 6 already, and we've got, you know, so many policies that may, you know, do the same thing. We never know. But it seems like every time I turn around, they're calling me and saying, okay, this policy matured, that policy matured, and, you know, in 6 weeks they'll have their money.
Yeah, and first quarter is already in the books, so, you know, we're into the second quarter of the year already. It's hard to believe, but, you know, to be this far into the year and be this this far above average is really, it's noteworthy at the very least.
That's right. So I'm hoping that every month it's going to be this good or better.
Yeah.
So the way that this works, a lot of maturities.
And we were talking about how this works over time, as far as investing and growing your money, so that you can retire happy and wealthy and early. That's the whole goal of this. And so
that's right.
This happens over time. You never ever want to look at just one policy and say, "Hey, I'm in for one policy and then I'm out." That never. That's not the idea. It's to grow your money, and you want to be in multiple policies, and you want to do this over several years. So for somebody who is wanting to, you know, retire, you know, maybe say age 62 on average, somebody's maybe in their late 40s, maybe early 50s, they want to go ahead and retire. Excuse me. This is really the time to go ahead and do it, because you want to have enough cushion to grow your money so that when you do retire, you've been in enough policies and you've got what you need.
That's right, because you want to be able to travel, to play with your grandkids, take your grandkids on trips. Everybody takes them to Disney World, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
And to do all these things that you haven't been able to do in 30 years.
Yeah.
So it's a nice thing when you say, we've got the money, we can do what we want to do.
Let me ask you, what is making this year so aggressively good? Because I know at the beginning of the year, you usually talk about how there's other companies that come in and they bid on these policies and they bid really aggressive the first part of the year, and then they kind of they've blown their budget for the rest of the year and they kind of start to fade away a little bit. But it seems like you've gotten more policies and they've been, you know, bigger policies. What's going on with these other companies?
Well, we were having a hard time January and February. You know, I'd be the first one to admit it. You know, we were losing a lot of bids, lots and lots of bids. And now it just all of a sudden, in the last 2 weeks, we suddenly got a lot of those policies that we had bid. One that we closed yesterday, $1 million, we had bid it in February. We didn't even know whether we got it or not.
Oh, wow. And you just
found
out. Wow.
Yeah, it showed up. And, you know, we're bidding everything in town, and naturally. Mm-hmm. And then this last week, all of a sudden, we got a lot of policies, you know. And that's what we need. So I don't know how many million we did for the clients this week, but it was quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, several million dollars.
So when you're bidding on these policies, you're bidding really aggressive on certain types of policies, not just any. Because when you say you're bidding on everything, that it's not like actually literally everything. You're being very selective.
No. We're talking about cancer policies. Mm-hmm. You know, we are bidding hard on cancer policies right now, and we've been really lucky. The ones we bought were really early. We bid them right. And we were right when we bought them saying these are good policies, and they were, you know. And that's the name of the game, getting the policies for the clients, getting them at the right price, and keep it flowing.
When you see a new policy for the first time, it comes across your desk, you're weighing or not, whether or not you want to bid on it or not, what's the first thing you look for? Is it the cash value? Is it the you know, policyholder's condition? Where do you go first?
Well, the condition is really all that matters. How long they had the cancer, make sure it's stage four. How many doctors have they seen? What are they doing about it right now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's liver, does he need a liver transplant? If it's kidney failure, is he on dialysis every week? You know, you've got to see behind the scenes what they're doing about the cancer. How many pounds have they lost? If they've lost 50 pounds, this is a serious situation. And you have to look at each thing. Has it reoccurred? If it reoccurred, it's usually always deadly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe it didn't get them the first time. But, you know, it came back 2 years later. Well, you know, Glenn, it's probably going to get them because it is so bad.
Wow. So the cash value of the policy really it doesn't mean anything if it's not a good policy to bid on.
No, and usually ours has no cash value. You know, usually ours are term life.
Oh, okay.
Term life is so much more economical for the client and for us. If you know, if it's got a cash value, lots of times the premiums are steep. This one that just came in this week, Sanders. That just matured. The premium was very high on it. But we bid it right, where even though it was high, it came in early, and they never had to touch the premium. They never had to pay any of that. So that's what we're looking at, you know. What is this policy going to do for the client? Can we manage to get in and out of it without paying any premium? Is the premium low? If it is, then we're really in good shape.
So when you look
and then,
at the standards,
as I told you the other day, some of them have no premium due.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that really makes it nice, if it's paid up or if it's paid for 10 years, whatever it is.
Because then if it goes over, the risk is very, very, very low because there's
That's
no premium.
Right.
So when you were bidding on the Sanders policy and you saw that the premiums were high, because that's the brilliant part, or that's one of the many brilliant parts of doing something like this, is you know what the premiums will be if it does go over. So when you look at it and you see, hey, these premiums might be a little bit steep on this particular policy, but we're going to go ahead and bid it anyway. What are you seeing in there that says this is a really good policy?
Well, you know, it was esophagus cancer on one of these, and esophagus, you know, that is really bad. And if a person has esophagus, it's in their lymph nodes, thyroid, and then it's already spread to the pancreas. They don't have a prayer.
Mm.
They do not have a chance. And yet they were saying it was a 27-month policy.
Really?
Yeah. And 15 months early.
15
I mean, they're saying
early.
That this guy is going to live 27 months. And look at Sanders. That's the one I was telling you about. We did that January of last year. Now, it went 2 months over, but it didn't cost us anything. You know, he had kidney disease, renal failure, and it was in the lungs. It was $1 million policy.
Wow.
He was 58 years old.
So when you're looking at policies like this, having having it be $1 million, I would imagine that probably, I guess, puts it in another perspective, knowing that it's such a large policy.
Well, yes, if it's a large policy, we're going to look at everything on it just like we would a small one. It doesn't really matter. It matters what the circumstances, you know.
Is it
how sick are they? How long have they been sick? How much weight have you lost? Is it recurrent? And we had two of these that were recurrent.
Mm-hmm.
And we had one, you know, that one, it was in the lungs, the liver, the spleen, and the brain.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, these are serious. And the youngest person was 50. We had a lady that was 52, a male 62, and then a male 58 and one 68.
Wow, these are all so young.
Yeah, and the only one policy out of six went over, and it went over 2 months.
Yeah.
So it still wasn't bad at all. You know, and the doctors believed that all of these were going to last a long time.
Now,
they didn't.
When they expect these policies to not mature for a long period, why? What's the difference? Because they're looking at these and they're saying, for example, this 27-month one, and it comes in 15 months early. I mean, that's pretty significant. What are you seeing in these policies, or are they just bidding super duper ultra conservative? Or are
they are pretty conservative, but they didn't realize, you know, when you've got esophageal cancer, it's already in the lymph nodes, it's already in the thyroid, and then it's spread to the pancreas, and it is recurrent. He'd already had this once. That's why I did not believe he would live long.
Wow.
Yeah. And the lady that had ovarian cancer, you know how deadly that is.
Oh, yeah.
It had spread to the fallopian tubes, the lymph nodes, and this was not the first time she'd had it. So, you know, I consider that very, very serious.
And all this comes from years and years of not only looking at these types of policies and these reports, but you've studied them, you've analyzed them, you know them inside and out. So you're not just making a wild guess or taking some doctor's word for it. You're actually examining these with detail.
I examine it about five times and go and say, okay, if it has reoccurred, that tells you they did not get the cancer when they operated. Or if they did, I just looked at one this week, and they've been messing around. And they had been to Mexico, come back, and they told them, you know, you need to be on chemo, you need to be on radiation. It is too late to operate. And the person said, well, I think I'll go back to Mexico for a little more treatment. I'm going, well, let's buy that one if we can.
Yeah, really.
Because you cannot survive going to Mexico and not doing chemo or radiation. And the other thing is to look for, are they on pain, severe pain medicine? If they're on severe pain medicine, they're not going to make it. It means it is really, really bad. And I always look, if they're on oxycodone and things like that, this is severe. I mean, they're hurting so bad that they can't even hardly survive.
Wow.
And then, you know, we had six this last year. I didn't realize it, but we had six policies we bid on, and they died before we got the policy closed.
Oh, my gosh.
Six.
That's a lot.
And they waited too long to sell their policy.
Mm-mm-mm. So the way this whole thing works is that, you know, these are investment opportunities. These are people who have been diagnosed with stage four cancer. They need to go ahead and sell their policy. Most of the time, I would say, I'm guessing. You can probably correct me. But most of the time, they need to sell them because they need some fast money to pay for their cancer treatment because it's very, very expensive.
It is very expensive. A lot of it starts at $10,000 a month.
Wow.
That's just a small amount.
So people will decide, okay, if I sell my life insurance policy, I can take that cash and I can have it right now and I can go start getting treatment that I need. And the hope is that obviously they can beat their cancer and they survive and go on to live a very long life. However, what happens is once that policy is sold, you come in, you bid on it against other companies, and then once you've got it, it becomes an investment opportunity for people to come in and put in their share of the policy, and then when the policy matures, they get their money plus a certain percentage of profit. I know that's oversimplified,
that's right.
But that's basically how this works, right?
That's how it works. And every time we do a policy, we'd say, okay, this one's got low premium. You know, we're going to put everybody in at this amount.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like this big policy that's coming up this next week, you know, it's going to take 40 people in it.
Oh, wow.
40 people. It's $5 million.
Wow.
Over five, really. And so when you've got a policy that big, it takes a lot of money, and you've got to put in a lot. You can't go in a policy like that at $50,000.
No.
You're going to have $100,000 to $150,000 to even get in it, because it's going to take so many to fill it.
Well, what that means is when this policy matures, there's a lot of people that are going to make a lot of money.
That's exactly right. They will. And I didn't even write down what the percentages were on these policies that matured. I wish I had to tell you how much they made, but, well, I'll bet I can. If it was a 15-month policy, they made 15% in 12 months. That one made at least 12% in 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
That one made at least 10% in about 12 months. And then you had the 30-month one. So they made 30%. In 16 months.
You know, that's an awful lot of money for doing nothing, because basically this is mailbox money. There is no effort required except just to sign the piece of paper and get in.
That's right. And the last one, I think they made 27% in 15 months.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah. So these were really good policies. Their maturities made people a lot of money. And I don't know how much everybody had in those,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, they had quite a bit.
So when it comes to planning for retirement, this is really probably one of the safest ways to grow your money. There's obviously risk in everything. We say this all the time. But as far as, you know, when you compare it to other opportunities like stock market or, you know, whatever, this is probably the safest because you set it and forget it. And this is completely independent from other things that are going on in the world. The value of the investment is not going to go down.
No, it won't, because whatever the life insurance company has said the face amount is, that's how much it is. That's what they're going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't broker any policies anymore. You know, we brokered some policies through other people, and that's not as safe as this. This is a lot safer, and you just have to do it direct with the bank like we do it. That's the safest way to do it.
Yeah.
And we don't have to worry about some joker this way, you know. We're direct with the bank. The bank acts as trustee on every policy,
mm-hmm.
and that's what makes it safe. There's still risk. Don't let me ever say there's not any risk. There is risk, but the risk is lower than some other investments, okay?
Yeah.
The risk is it might go over. You might have to wait for your money, but look at the last 3 months. One person had to wait 2 months longer, but the rest of them got it a lot earlier. So, you know, it's going to be in between. Some of it will be on time, some will be early, and some may be late.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good average, and it'll work out.
Yeah, and when you do this over time, you're exactly right. It's an average, because it's not a, you know, invest in one policy and you're in and out. This is something that you use. It's a tool to help plan and grow your money for retirement.
It is the only way to go, because you know, the stock market sometimes gets a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That thing has just been up and down lately, all over the place. And so, and a broker said this last week, it reminded them of 1987.
Oh, boy.
One of the big crashes. And I go, oh, my gosh, I hope not.
Yeah.
But, you know, a person should always be careful. Only put into the stock market what you can afford to lose.
Mm-hmm.
If you can afford to lose it, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
You know.
At that point, it's almost...
If you just got some for fun and you lose it, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's play money at that point.
Yes. But if you want to be sure you've got enough money to retire, this is the best way to do it, I think.
Yeah.
Or one of the ways to do it anyway. You know, I wouldn't have it all in the stock market, let me put it that way. And most of our people have already gotten out of the stock market, so they're not worried about it. Now, we'll have people probably retiring this year, and before they retire, they'll call us and say, you know, we want to get the rest of our money over to you before we retire.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's a good way to do it.
And you just roll it over.
Roll it over. Then whatever you do after retirement, it doesn't matter. Your money is working for you.
Yeah.
So you've got the money working. Everything is fine. And I, as I said, this last year for the first time, we had some fairly young people retiring. You know, in their 60s, like 60 years old.
Really?
Yeah. And most people don't retire till they're 67, 68, you know. But a lot of them did, and they had made a lot of money with us.
And, of course, after they retire, they're still investing, and they're still growing their money.
That's right. They're still investing, still growing their money.
So when somebody's planning for retirement, one thing to note is that this is not something that you do like a year before you retire. You don't want to start a year before and then say, hey, I'm going to hit this one policy and then I'm going to get rich and then I'm going to, you know, retire and everything's going to be great. This is a planning process. So this is something you want to start as soon as possible so that you can grow it year over year so that by the time you get to your targeted retirement date, you've got the money.
That's right. And you have to work it, just like anything else. You've got to say, okay, let's move this money over to Faye. Let's get it to growing. And then tell us the date that you plan to retire.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how much money you're going to need that first year or the second year. A lot of people don't need it till the second year. Tell me how much cash you've got to have in that account at all times. So you don't want to invest it all if you're fixing to retire and need some cash.
You need some spending money.
You need spending money. Do you need $100,000 a year, $50,000, $75,000, whatever? And then we will leave that much at all times in your account. And when policies mature, we'll build it up each time and keep that money rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can just keep doing that forever.
And so this way, people always, they're always growing it with new investments, but they've got plenty of money that they can access at any time. And if somebody needs, say, $100,000 a year as they use it, I assume that gets replenished and gets put back in there. So we're not just bleeding the account dry.
No, you should never do that. You have to be sensible, and the money that you make with this, you've got to put a percentage of it back in cash for emergencies or just to live on.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes they have a his and her IRA. If they do, they may be going to live on the wife's IRA for 5 or 10 years and not even touch the big money. You know, they may have $500 or $1 million over here on the other side.
Yeah.
Or they may have, you know, the wife may have $150,000 or $300,000. So, you know, we work it out and figure out how they want to do it. And then that's the goal that we set.
And so correct me if I'm wrong, but we're talking about, you know, investment profits large enough that there's plenty of profit to be diversified into each of the accounts that they need. You know, the spending money account, the emergency account, the reinvesting account. So the profits are large enough that they can put a percentage where it needs to go.
That's exactly right. And like you say, they may have an account that they took out of the bank. A lot of people had CDs. Well, they take that money and they put it in one account. Then they've got IRAs with us. So they've got several accounts that they can live out of and take money out of when they need it. And then they've got a lot of other money with us that they're not going to take that out until they really need it. They're going to let it grow and grow and get to where it's a large sum of money.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, the nice thing is the bank handles it. We don't touch their money. Checks are never made to our company. We do not allow it. And that protects them. It's over there at the bank. It's not in my account. And that's the way it ought to be. And then the bank, when, you know, when the policy matures, they get a certified death certificate and they pay them. Now then, when the premium is due, they pay that. We escrow premium for 100% of what they're going to need as long as they're in that policy. And that's what keeps their money safe. They're not going to have to come up all of a sudden with a premium that they didn't know about.
Yeah. It's already in an account.
It's already in an account. If it goes over, they know in advance what that could be because they knew that was on page 14 when they signed up.
Mm-hmm.
So they know all the facts. They know what the risk is. And they know what they're going to make. It's not like some things, and you say, well, if this does well, this is how much we're going to make. It's kind of like a wheat crop. You say, if we don't get hailed out, if this doesn't happen and that doesn't happen, this is what we're going to make on our wheat crop.
Yeah.
But the wheat crop may get hailed out. And nowadays, they buy insurance to cover that. Well, it's gotten so expensive, they can't hardly buy the insurance if they do get hailed out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this doesn't have as many risks as a farmer does, okay?
Yeah. The risks are there, but they're very, very, very low.
They're low. And nowadays, everybody says farming is a big risk.
Yeah.
Didn't used to be.
Well, with all the crazy weather we've had.
The equipment you've had to buy.
Yeah.
You know, that equipment costs hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you've got the weather to contend with. Just everything.
Mm-hmm.
If the weather holds, you do good.
Yeah, but you know, just sitting around waiting and hoping on the weather is that'll keep you up at night.
It will keep you up at night, and especially cotton farmers. You know.
Oh yeah.
You don't want that to get hailed out just before you're going to go out there and harvest it.
Yeah, your whole profit goes down the drain.
That's right, and wheat the same thing can happen.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a late storm just before harvest.
Yep.
And wipe you completely out.
Yep. Even after
it might go 5 years and you not even have a storm.
Sure.
You might do good for 4 or 5 years. Then all of a sudden you get hit.
Yeah, and all it takes is one.
It just takes one.
Mm-hmm.
And now most farmers, I know their land is paid for.
Yeah.
But what if you owe on the farm?
Yep.
So you've got a big payment to make. And then you get a storm gets you too, so that's not good.
And it's the same thing, really, with the stock market. You know, when you're investing in Wall Street, you're pretty much hoping that everything goes well. It doesn't crash. You know, no worldly event happens to devalue your investments. You hope everything keeps going, and hoping is not really a very sound, stable way to grow your money, especially when we're talking about this large quantities of money, and we're talking about your retirement. You don't want to get to within a year or 6 months of retirement, and then something comes in out of the blue, wipes out your entire investment, and then, you know, Wall Street crashes and you lose everything. That's not the time you want this to happen.
No, you don't want to get involved in that. So, you know, it's always best to be conservative.
This is your
now,
money.
We're
with,
conservative.
Exactly. It's all about being conservative and making sure that you are investing in the safest way possible. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, every Saturday morning around this time, we start getting into trivia, and you bring all kinds of interesting things. What's the topic today?
Today, the topic is barbecue.
Yes.
Texas barbecue. The best in the world is Texas barbecue.
Hands down.
Hands down. So I want to tell you a little bit about Texas barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
There is a place called Prowse Meat Market. It's in LaGrange.
All right.
And that's between Austin and Houston. Now, they've been in business for 105 years.
Whoa.
The current pit boss has worked for the family for 40 years. He's kind of a celebrity.
Wow, cool.
Now, Arnold Prowse had a butcher shop in 1904 on the north side of the courthouse. Now, the fourth generation, Gary Prowse, is running it now. He has two brothers that work there. A sister, Kathy, works there. And his son is the fifth generation to work there. Years ago, they had 9 family members running that place.
Oh, wow.
Now then, the way it works, They do. They have their own smokehouse. They have their own meat processing plant. And what sets them apart is they do it the old-fashioned way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, if you wanted to come in there and order a whole barbecue, a whole beef, or a whole hog, whatever, they could do it. And they could get it ready for you in 24 hours. And it just amazes me. They do their own brand of bacon. They do Canadian bacon. They do their own sausage in the smokehouse. Now, they use mountain hickory wood from Tennessee. Mm. I wanted you to know that.
Uh-huh.
Now, the pork and the beef, you know, they use an oak on that. But this place is so wonderful, and I was reading some reports, hadn't read them in a long time, from people who'd been there. And this man said he was so mad because they don't take credit cards, they don't take checks, and he wanted a whole bunch of beef because he ate all this beef. It was so delicious, so wonderful. He wanted to get some of that sausage, the steaks, I mean, everything.
Oh.
And they said, "Sir, I'm sorry, we don't take checks, we don't take credit cards."
Oh, no.
And so he had to leave without it.
Oh.
And a lot of people have went down there and found that out. And you don't want to ever go there without a couple $100 in your billfold, okay?
Yeah, make sure you take some cash money.
You got to take cash, and it is wonderful. It's been there 105 years. They're not going to change. Everything is done the old-fashioned way. Some of the best barbecue in the world. And you're going to want to take some of that home with you. You're going to take some of that beef home. One guy said that the smaller steak, and then you put it, they had made it inside of a sirloin, and he said it's just, he said you don't even want to go to a restaurant if you can go to Prouse and get all your meat.
Oh, yeah, I'm
There's
sure
no
you're
reason
ruined.
To eat out. It's so wonderful.
Yeah, you'd be ruined to go to a restaurant after that.
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't want to do it. And when they talk about all that sausage and all that beef, it makes you want to go there today. Makes you want to do it. Now then, Texas Monthly. I'm sure you know Texas Monthly magazine here in Texas.
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. They have named the best barbecue place in the state.
Mm-hmm.
The best. And the New Yorker said, the New Yorker magazine, said, no, it's not the best in the state. It's the best in the world.
Really?
And it is Snow's Barbecue. They're in Lexington, Texas. That's 50 miles northeast of Austin, Highway 77. Now, let me tell you something. Their pit master is a lady named Tootsie Tamanis. She's 73 years old.
Wow.
There's only 1,000 people that live there. Okay? Now, they're only open one day a week.
Really?
One day a week. They open on Saturdays only. And they just serve till it runs out. They close up, say, "We're closing," and they go home.
And don't come back for another week.
No. And somebody asked the guy that owns it one day and said, "Let me ask you this. Why aren't y'all open all week?" He said, "We couldn't make a living if we were open all week." He said,
wow.
"On Saturdays, we can make a living." Now, can you believe this?
Wow.
Now, let me tell you how all this happened. The people at Texas Monthly, they had heard about it. They wanted to go up there. And the guy said, "Well, the brisket was outlandishly good." But he asked this question. Was it just an accident? He said, "You know, I mean, anybody can have good barbecue one time." So they sent Mr. Gwynn up there. And he has a huge appetite for good barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
And his desire for the truth. So anyone knows that on a given day, he said, any idiot could get lucky and make some good barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to Snow's to find out if this little bitty wood frame building with 4 hours worth of business could really produce. So he took his wife, and they went up there. They got there at 10 o'clock, ordered everything on the menu, sat down, started eating. And he said, "Our verdict was not long in coming. The experience was otherworldly." He said, "The brisket was astonishing. It was tender. and it was actually topped by the pork steak. It actually topped it. So then they said, this is the best barbecue we'd ever had. And so they said, well, you know, who is the genie behind this fantastic meat? And so they talked to Tootsie Tamanis. As I said, she's one of the best barbecuers in Texas. She's 73, been doing it forever. And she goes down there at 3 a.m., gets the pits moving, gets everything done. She works as a custodian during the week for the Gidding School District.
Oh, wow.
So he visited while she tended the fire and all this. And he said it became obvious that Snow's was no mistake. She knows her meat. She's been smoking meat since 1967.
Oh, wow.
She ran the pits at City Meat Market in Giddings. And they owned, back then they had a meat market, a butcher shop, and barbecue. And before Lexington, she worked there for 20 years. They haven't been open, but, you know, a few years. So she helped the owner, Terry Bexley, design the pits. She gets there, as I said, 3 a.m., builds the fire, start the meat smoking, wraps the brisket and butcher paper around 6 or 7. And like she said, we're doing just fine, just one day a week. So the guy goes back to Texas Monthly, and they were about to anoint another place in the state. And he said all he had to do was send this one guy, double checker, Paul Burka. And he said, I timed my arrival for 1 p.m. to see if Snow's could pass the late crowd test. He said, but I got there, the restaurant was cold, was closed, sold out, empty, locked.
You got to get there early.
So he went to Taylor and to double-check Louis Mueller's. But the next week, he said, I came back to Snow's before noon. But he said he was contemplating his choices, and he heard him tell a customer that the brisket was already gone. Too late again.
Oh.
And the owner said, well, the reason we don't have any, Texas Monthly has been here the last 2 weekends, he said. So he told him, he said, I'm the third. So he ordered everything they had, pork ribs, chicken, pork butt. The pork ribs were fantastic. Chicken was perfectly done. Pork butt was tender, he said. And by the time he got through, he was alone with the owner. And he called to me to the counter. He said, I didn't want to say anything with other people, he said, but my daughter's coming in today, and I put some brisket up for her. He said, would you like me to give you just a little bit? So he went and got some and gave him just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was around 12:30 then, and the only remaining meat was two ribs and an entire brisket.
Wow.
Yeah. And he said, I'll make you a deal for all of it. Then he brought him out a few slices of brisket. He said, I've never tasted barbecue this good. And so he went home, placed the brisket on the counter, peeled back the fold, and told everybody, would you like to try some? He said it was as heavenly as a piece of meat as I'd ever encountered.
Mm, I'm sure.
He immediately called the food editor and told her, we have found the best brisket in the state. Now, can you believe that?
Yes, I can. Wow.
And it's just a little bitty shack, hole in the wall. It's not some big fancy restaurant, but they swear by it. They said it's the best in the state, and New Yorker Magazine has been there even, and they said the best in the world.
It's just making my mouth water now.
And on Easter Sunday, there was people who waited 3 hours to get some.
Really?
3 frigging hours.
Wow.
And it's only open for special days like, Easter Sunday. And the rest of the time, it's open one day a week, and they stand in line to get it.
Wow.
It Can sounds you believe like that?
So worth it. I would probably stand in line starting at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, I think people would. I think they would stand in line just as long as it took. And remember, this little town doesn't have but 1,000 people.
Yeah.
The people come from all over to get Snow's barbecue.
And where are they? Lexington, Texas?
Lexington, Texas. 50 miles northeast of Austin on Highway 77.
Wow.
Now, a person needs to go get that and have some fine old eating.
Oh, my goodness. It sounds like if I would try to get some and bring it home, I probably wouldn't make it probably to the interstate.
No, you wouldn't, because you'd be eating it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's something a person would want to just chow down on.
Well, there is an art to good barbecue. I've had some, I'm sure most people have, had some really bad barbecue. People who have just, they don't get it. But, man, it sounds like these people are all over it.
They are. Let me tell you something. Talking about bad barbecue. You know, Argyle, Texas, just a little town. They have a post office, no grocery store. They've just now got a CVS pharmacy. And some guy came out and opened a little barbecue place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's all outside. They don't have a building or anything. Had them a little mobile home. And the meat wasn't so bad. But the potato salad and the rest of it was so bad a person couldn't eat. You had to throw it away.
Oh, no.
And that's just the way it is. If people haven't been doing this for 40 or 50 years, they don't know anything about barbecue.
No, they don't. And the wood makes all the difference in the world.
It makes all the difference in the world. If you don't have that good old oak or the good old hickory,
yep.
It's not going to be good.
No.
And then it's the way you do it. Now, like this lady, she comes down there at 3 a.m., and she's 73, doesn't bother at all.
Yeah.
She wants to make good, good barbecue.
Wonder if she gets a chance to eat any, or if people eat it before she can get to it.
I'll bet she's snacking all the time. I'll bet on that. Anybody that knows their barbecue, you know they're snacking.
Oh, yeah, you can't help it. I feel
a road trip
coming to Snow's Barbecue pretty soon.
You got to go to Snow's, and if you want some stuff to freeze and all this, you got to go to LaGrange to Prowse's.
Yeah.
Because that sausage and bacon, they make that themselves.
They've been making it
105 years.
Oh, wow.
These two places are top-notch.
Barbecue's
top-notch.
Oh, it's my favorite thing of all time, ever.
Well, you know, it's that time in Texas. Everybody is going to be gearing up to barbecue. But you don't even have to. You just go to these two places and load it up.
Yeah, I feel it coming on. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, we're talking about growing your money and saving and investing so that you can retire happy, wealthy, and early. You want to make sure you've got the safest investment possible. And when people go to invest in alternative investments kind of like this, like a life settlement, this is something that people don't just guess at. This is probably one of the most well-informed investments that somebody can make for a number of reasons.
Well, I would think so because, we give them all the health information. We give them all the information about the policy. You know, we give them all the information about the trustee. We tell them everything we can think of that would help them. You know, we tell them how old the person is, how long they've had the cancer, what people have been making. You know, we post all the earnings on the website to help people out. You know, we want them to know everything we know. You know, we want them to know what policies have matured, how soon they've matured, and what the people made. You know, it's important that you know as much as you can. And then when we call and say, we're ready to go, we want you to invest in this, they just send that email back and said, yes, put me in. Put me in for $100,000. Put me in for $150,000, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. This is a totally different mindset than investing in something like Wall Street. So when somebody comes to you and invests in a life settlement for the first time, they're coming off of Wall Street and all the worry and the anxiety and the, you know, getting up in the middle of the night, checking your account, and they come over to this. What are some of the things that people say after they go through the first one?
They say, let me get some more money together. Yeah, they do. People say, I don't have near enough money with you. Let me put some more money with you.
Wow.
And all these people this last year, they'll come and bring another $50,000 or $100,000. Or, you know, people are always bringing more money into our office here in Midland. They'll just come by and say, here's a check. I've got some more money. Somebody brought money in the other day. They had their IRAs with us. Now they're putting their Roths with us.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes the wife doesn't do it at the same time the husband does. And then she'll put her money with us. And then they'll put their mother's money with us and their aunt. I've got one family that there's six of them.
Oh, really?
That have their accounts with us, yes.
Oh, wow.
Six of them.
And I'm guessing it just started with one person. They made a lot of money and told and told everybody else.
And then we have a lot of people, First Baptist in Odessa. And each one knows the other one. And when they made money, they told the other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we've got people, you know, all the way to Big Spring, all the way going toward Lubbock, Pecos, down that way. We've got people in Fort Stockton, Hobbs, New Mexico, by the way.
Oh, wow.
We've got people, yeah, over at Hobbs that still own a house over there, but they have moved to Midland. And then we've got some people that have just retired with us, and they moved to North Carolina.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know of a lot of people, as I'm telling that all the time, that are retiring in Midland because they want, you know, lakes, they want golf courses, and that guy was a pilot. So he's still doing charter flights out of North Carolina.
It's just really, there's so many people that find this kind of opportunity just so solid and so, I guess, so easy, I guess. Is that a fair assessment?
I think so. I think it is because it once we get it set up, it's easy. It's not mind-boggling, as I always say.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once they start making money, they see how it works.
Yeah.
You know, to start with, they may say, well, I'm just not sure how that really works. But once they have some maturities, they know how it works.
Yeah.
And they know how long it takes to get paid, 6 to 8 weeks.
That's pretty cool.
And they know that we will always let them know, which we do. We send them an email just as soon as we know the people have passed away. And we've got another one that we haven't even been paid on now that we've just been informed this week, and it's not on that list because we just now found out that that the person had passed away.
Yeah. But that's coming. The people have the money in their account in a couple of weeks.
Yes. The ones that that got to the bank this week, the bank will put it in, I think, Monday or Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So that's even faster.
Yeah. And we always tell them, you know, it's at the bank, but they haven't put it in yet. It'll be a couple of days.
Okay.
Seems like Nevada pays quicker once it gets there. They tell their bank that they can't hold it forever. Bank of Utah will hold it a week.
Okay.
I guess because it's $1 million or more, and they feel like they want to be sure that insurance company's reputable, even though, you know, these are huge insurance companies.
Yeah.
Huge. So they don't really have anything to worry about.
All right.
But we always tell them at page 14, we make them sign page 14 where they know everything that's going on, okay?
Yeah. So it's basically, it's a well-informed investment opportunity. It's a great way to start growing your money for retirement. You basically just set it and forget it. Now, I know you said at the beginning that you're quite full for appointments this week because business is booming.
Well, Thursday. Then come in on Thursday.
All right. But Wednesday's booked, right?
Wednesday's already gone.
All right. So you have a little bit on Thursday?
We'll have some time on Thursday. We already have one appointment for Thursday, but we have some others available. And if they'll just call in and make that appointment, we'll be glad to handle it.
Fantastic. So that gives people a little bit of time to gather some information together, find out, you know, where their assets are, and I'll gather that, put it all together, and then go in and make an appointment and sit down. Don't just show up because obviously Faye's very,
very
busy.
It's going to be a busy week, so you need to make that appointment. Come in, talk to us, bring your wife. You know, we know that the wife makes half that decision,
yep.
Or maybe three-fourths. We don't want to say that, but, you know, us women do, you know, we do make a lot of the decisions. And so, yes, we do want them to make an appointment, bring everything they want me to look at.
Right.
And we'll be looking at it and talking to them about it and see how they feel about it. And then if they love us, which most people do, we'll do it for them, okay?
Excellent. And, Faye, one last time, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Fay Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Fay Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.